They're good, huh? Your car, Kath, is in.
Kasha pushed a button, and a throng of tiny, squawking creatures raced across the board and swarmed over one of Lobot's armored beasts. It squealed and then vanished beneath the onslaught. Lobot stared, eyes wide.
You know he's never lost, right?
Lando said. Kasha grinned across the table at Lobot.
Oops.
It's not over yet,
Lando said, chuckling, and headed to the corridor.
I'm gonna check on Florx. Have fun, you two.
The door slid closed behind him. Up ahead, sparks and bright flashes of light cast manic shadows across the far wall. The grunting snorts of Lando's Ugnaught droid expert sounded beneath the sizzling hum of a mech torch. Lando rounded the corner, stopped in his tracks. Soot and burn marks covered the tiny entirety of Florx Biggles. Fortunately, the Ugnaught was wearing one of those heavy-duty protective suits they favored, and a metal face guard that made him look like some kind of humanoid astromech that had survived a nasty crash. DRX, or what was left of him, lay splayed out in various twitching pieces across Florx's workbench, and the walls, and the floor, and one or two fingers that were somehow dangling from the ceiling wires.
Lando rubbed his eyes. Florx, buddy, how bad is it?
Florx looked up and pulled his helmet off, revealing a squinched-up porcine face framed by wispy white mutton chops. He snorted.
Well, I didn't think you'd be able to fix him right away. But did you have to... He's everywhere, Florx. Can you put him back together?
Florx threw his thickly gloved hands up in the air and let out a barrage of Ugnaught profanities.
Okay, hey,
Lando said, giving a shrug of acknowledgement.
You're right. I don't want him to be fully functional and still trying to kill me. But...
Florx said, slipping into the voice he used that always sounded like he was trying to explain something really obvious to a baby Ugnaught. It grated on Lando's nerves, but he didn't want to get into another brawl with the droid specialist right now. Those never went well.
All right.
Lando let some laughter slide into his voice and shook his head.
Did you recalibrate the main cortex processor?
Florx shook his head, bristling.
Well, how are we supposed to access his backup drives without...
Florx insisted, fist coming to rest on his hips.
Yes, you're the expert. But a fat lot of good that's done us so far, Florx. Why don't you try and light him back up now and see how...
Florx whirled around, throwing his face guard with a clank, and grumbled some choice thoughts about Lando's management style as he punched something into a keypad. DRX's shiny silver head whirred to life. Two bright red lights winked on in its eyes as it glared directly at Lando.
Kill.
It seethed in a metallic whisper.
Chandrila, now.
Come to order,
Frandu the Rhodian insisted over the muttering crowd. What were they talking about? Han wasn't sure, and definitely didn't care enough to find out.
It's quite simple, fellow pilots. We must formalize the regulations for New Republic pilots across the board. A standardized licensing board and registration system across the galaxy. Simple.
One of the reasons no one liked Frandu was that he insisted on everyone calling him the Rhodian, as if he were some super special, one and only type. But there were three other Rhodians in the pilots' union alone, none of whom spoke to Frandu, and plenty of others in all levels of the New Republic's fledgling bureaucracy.
A board that licenses and a system of registration that is standardized.
He warbled through the tiny dancing lips at the end of his narrowed green snout. The other reason no one liked Frondu was that he always repeated himself with a slightly rephrased version of whatever he'd just said. The entire union groaned as one. Frondu the Rhodian stood in the center of one of the Galactic Senate's secondary auditoriums. The attendees, pilot representatives from all over the galaxy, had been muttering, politicking, and at one point all-out brawling over rules and regulations for the entire day. And now, the Chandrillan sun was setting over forest mountains outside the massive glass dome in which they sat. And Han was fed up. More accurately, Han was still fed up, and now he'd just about had it.
"Everyone is always so quick to grumble and disagree,"
Frondu whined.
"Disagreements and complaints come soaring from this group with such great velocity."
The only thing that had been soaring at Han with great velocity was the simple, indisputable truth that he was in over his head. Not with the dang pilots' union. Not with any part he ended up playing in the New Republic. That was tedious, sure, but he'd work it out. No, he'd face down certain death and gangsters and bounty hunters, not to mention the Empire itself, and somehow come out on top every time. He could handle some fumbling bureaucrats and their insipid need to codify and coordinate every tiny detail. All that was exhausting and generally life-draining, but it was nothing compared with how utterly, obviously, irretrievably unprepared he was for fatherhood. 2 years in, and no matter what, nothing he did was right. He brought Ben a play blaster from Burundang, and he was encouraging his violent side. Took it away, and the boy wouldn't stop crying. He tried to replace it with a Build-A-Space Center set, and there were too many small pieces Ben could choke on. The worst part was, it wasn't like Leia was just nagging or inventing stuff to one-up on. She was right about all of it, so he couldn't even properly resent her for it. Every time she pointed out some potentially unhealthy or obviously lethal thing Han was doing, it was like, of course, it was right there in front of him all along.
"It's okay,"
Leia had said as they lay in bed one night, with the soft Chandrillan breeze blowing in through the open balcony doors. Ben finally snoring softly between them.
"You didn't exactly have any good models of fatherhood growing up."
"Yeah,"
Han had muttered. He put her hand back into his hair, which she'd been stroking soothingly while he complained.
"I guess not."
"It takes time."
But that had been a whole year ago. And Han still had no idea what he was doing, with no sign of improvement. One thing was perfectly clear, though. He wasn't meant to be a dad.
"And the Honorable Captain Solo agrees,"
Frondu the Rhodian declared triumphantly.
"Don't you?"
Absolutely,
Han said, blinking back to the present world. The entire auditorium had swiveled to face him. A barrage of groans and arguments erupted.
"Excellent,"
Frondu shrieked over the melee.
"Let us break for a recess, and we can begin formalizing the procedural protocols within the hour. The procedural protocols will be formalized after the commencement of a recess period, which we will begin immediately and then return from."
"Great,"
Han said, ignoring the many glares and mumbled curses directed his way.
"See you guys soon."
He stood. He would absolutely not be seeing them soon. He had somewhere to be. A transport whooshed by as he stepped out into the streets of Hana City. It was fine, though. He'd rather walk. The diplomatic residency complex wasn't far. He would get home, throw some things in his bag, message Lando. His friend was in trouble. That was the bottom line. He couldn't leave him hanging. Not after Lando had saved his life and destroyed the Death Star, and anyway, it was maybe potentially in some tiny way Han's fault Lando was in this mess in the first place. So he made his way through the bustling crowds on Heroes of the Republic Boulevard, then turned down Revelina Street and stuck to the back alleys. He was defending his position already, which meant there was a fight to be had. Because he was always leaving, Leia would probably say. And why couldn't he just settle down with his wanderer's heart, his shiftlessness, his ever-packed bag? And she'd be right. Even if Han had to admit, she probably wouldn't say it quite like that. Or maybe even at all. And yes, it wasn't that long ago that he'd fallen off the map entirely trying to help Chewie free his planet. But this was different. This was... Was it different? He turned onto Embassy Row, fast-walked past the guard station with a quick nod and a flash of his ID, and then entered the sparkling gardens and fountain-decorated courtyard of his apartment complex. It didn't matter if it was different or not, really. Lando needed him. And if he was being honest with himself, Ben might be better off without him. At least until he could get it together and learn how to be a father for real. Not just some reckless man-child who happened to have a kid. He wouldn't tell Leia that, though. That would just set off a whole other fight. Keep it simple. Keep it straightforward. That was the ticket. The turbolift zipped up to their floor. The front door slid open with a whisper. And then he was home, and the place was blessedly empty, except for the whirring-to-life house droids.
"Welcome home, Master Solo,"
BX-778 chortled happily.
"Perhaps I can interest you in a..."
"Not now, Fizzpot."
Han entered the bedroom, reached under the bed for his go-bag, found nothing.
"Nothing?"
He swiped again.
"Looking for this?"
Leia stood in the doorway, holding the bag in one hand, a sly smile on her face. Han jumped to his feet.
"Leia, I... Look, this is..."
"I packed it for you,"
she said, still smiling, eyes sad.
"You what?"
"Your favorite flight pants. You've really got to get some new ones, though, Han. It's getting ridiculous. And an extra weapons belt. Socks, underpants, all your spare bathroom stuff. It's all here."
Han raised his hands, opened his mouth. 100 explanations, excuses really, poised to pour out. None came. He dropped his hands by his sides, shook his head, completely disarmed. And suddenly, very sad.
"It's okay,"
Leia said.
"You don't have to explain. And I invited Lando and his Twi'lek friend over for dinner tonight, so you guys will have a chance to talk about it more."
She wasn't even doing it to make him feel bad. That was the worst part. She really did understand that he needed to go, which made him not want to go at all, but didn't change the fact that he had to. And it didn't mean he was suddenly going to be a good father either. He stepped toward her, reached for the bag. She held it away, pulled him into a hug.
"Promise me this,"
Leia whispered, looking up at him. The mission seemed suddenly desperate, impossible. A long-dead Powan gangster and his maniac droid? Chasing some device halfway across the galaxy? And for what? Han didn't like any of it.
"What's that?"
"Come back to me alive, Captain Solo. That's an order."
"Yes, Your Highness,"
Han said, and then he kissed her.
Lando. Waystation Carambola, about 15 years ago. Pants. Dark purple with a gold stripe up either side. Pressed and creased sharply down the middle, of course. Subtly flared at the hems over shined and waxed, narrow-tipped dewback skin boots, sloping inward and tight toward the top. Tight enough for a bulge and the insinuation of an ass, not so tight as to cut off circulation or impede a smooth cavort across the dance floor. A black and red dyed bantha hide belt circled the hips, held tight in the precise center by a glinting copper-starred buckle. Shirt? Light blue Slidaran silk. It hung just right, stretched here, loose there. Cast soft shadows beneath each pec, a mere suggestion, not a shout. Inverted triangle of dark brown flesh opening up to a slight flare at the collar, a larger, lighter echo of the perfectly trimmed arrow of thick black hair over the chin. And boom, smile unassailable. One eyebrow raised, now the other. Indeed. Finishing touch? The cape. Yellow? No. No, no, no. Tonight, red. Bright, unflinching, unapologetic, crimson red. Unstoppable red. Red that reflects the light, sends it dancing back out across the room like a million stars. Red lined with... Red lined with a more reserved magenta to offset the heavy purple of the pants. Perfect. It was close to midnight, the dawn of a brand new year. The Empire was creeping its way across the galaxy like a ruthlessly bureaucratic, occasionally lethal fungal infection. And the thriving underworld of smugglers, spice dealers, bounty hunters, and the assorted denizens of the crime syndicates that kept them all afloat had all gathered to celebrate the coming era of overindulgence and excess. The mind-numbing, rickety drum-and-drone bursts, moans, and clacks of Rev-Rav and the Four Pies blurted out across the 10th-level solarium den of Way Station Carambola. Beautiful women of all species were everywhere looking as fine as they wanted to, and a now fully dressed and manicured Lando Calrissian high-stepped through the revelers, feeling good. Festoon, he said, nodding at an Ithorian. Good to see you, old buddy. Primco Farg. Fastoon chortled something and waved. Primco, a human bounty hunter whom Lando didn't care much for, just looked away. Didn't matter. The night was made for fun.
All right, Barto.
A pointed finger.
Smoit. Did you ever get a hold of those nanoblasters you kept...
Smoit cut him off with frantically waving tentacles and a meaningful scowl.
Okay, never mind then.
Lando spun out of the way and nabbed two bubbly drinks from the tray of a passing server droid without losing his stride. Then he stopped in his tracks, pursed his lips, and shook his head.
Preeta Sven.
The woman smiled with half her mouth and gazed down at Lando, one long-fingered hand on her full, deliciously thick hip, the other holding the tube of an elegant smoking apparatus up to her full, deliciously thick lips. A glittering gold gown hung off one shoulder and slid down between her long legs, revealing plenty, hinting at more.
Ah, Lauren, Preeta said in a sultry whisper.
Lando,
Lando said.
But you can call me Lauren if it...
Lauren Carl Prisven,
Preeta declared, uninterested in pithy details. She took a gulp of smoke and released it into the air, then deigned to give him a quick glance over, seeming to store what she saw in a file somewhere.
How have you been?
Lando really didn't care how she said his name, as long as he could find a way to slide that dress off her later that night.
Much better now that I've seen you. What brings a lovely lady like yourself out to this gruesome den of outlaws and kingpins?
Wait. A tiny blip of information surfaced in Lando's mind, clicked into place.
Don't you work for the...
Galactic Empire, yes. I was a regional administrator when you last saw me at the Berylian checkpoint. I have been upgraded to Vice Grand Administrator of Stormtrooper Recruitment. Lando had never been to the Berylian checkpoint, and the last time he'd seen Preeta had been on Pantora, when he'd had to sweet-talk her into letting him fly off-planet with a freighter full of illegally poached Forlan carcasses. It had worked, but he'd had to bust out pretty quick after that and hadn't had the chance to see if that sweet-talk would pay off in any other ways. Preeta had never been good with the small stuff, though.
Well, congratulations, Vice Grand Administrator Sven. However will we celebrate your promotion?
Preeta locked eyes with Lando, endowing him with her full attention for the first time. Her lips stayed pursed around the smoke tube, but her eyes smiled.
That's it, Lando thought. We have docking clearance.
He was pretty sure that later that night, when they were lying sweaty and naked in each other's arms, he would trace the whole thrilling escapade back to that singular eye contact.
We must find a suitable way, Preeta said in a breathy whisper.
Perhaps you'd like to see my starship. You know what I hate,
a tall, scruffy guy grumbled, shoving his way between them and snatching one of the drinks out of Lando's hand.
Solariums.
For a young guy, Sardis Ramson had a light brown face that looked like it had been on the losing end of a few too many cantina brawls. He insisted he was a bounty hunter. No one had seen him actually hunt a bounty, but he sure talked a big game.
Who builds a solarium at a way station, you know?
He threw back the drink, took the other one from Lando. Lando blinked at him.
I mean, this is the last stop, so to speak,
Sardis slurred on.
The actual butt end of the galaxy. A galactic toenail clipping, basically, and so, like, Sardis, buddy.
Lando cut off whatever rehearsed punchline was being grasped for.
Didn't you notice two tens were talking?
He squeezed Ramson's shoulder.
And here you are, a five.
He took the drink back and handed it to Vice Admiral Sven.
My lady.
Ramson squinted but couldn't seem to work his way through the logic of what Lando had said. He shrugged.
All I'm saying is, who names a way station after themselves, you know?
That guy, actually,
Lando said, as all 3 meters of fasted Barrancool Carambola loomed behind Sardis Ramson.
That guy right there.
Ramson paled, eyes wide, and then turned just in time to catch the full force of Carambola's 12-kilo slab of fist across his face. Lando watched with mild amusement as the supposed bounty hunter went hurtling backward into a crowd of gossiping Rodians, who commenced part 2 of his beatdown accordingly. Lando shook his head.
Take it easy on him, fellas. That guy might be something someday. Ooh, that had to hurt. Yeah, probably won't be much anyway. Never mind.
He turned, looked up, and then up some more.
It's good to see you, Fasted,
Lando said, shaking Carambola's huge hand and trying not to wince at its crushing grip.
Been a minute. And I'm sure you know the relentlessly lovely Vice Grand Administrator, Preeta Sven.
Delighted,
Preeta said, pointedly not offering her hand up as a sacrifice.
Of course,
Carambola said with a wink.
I hope you weren't troubled by that tiny clown. Please enjoy yourselves at the bar on me for the remainder of the night.
The way station master had always been the most well-mannered and best-dressed Crowloot Lando had ever met. And there it was. Lando offered his arm, Preeta took it,
that grip,
and they seemed to almost glide through the crowd toward the bar.
Damn, Bloodlow,
Lando said as they passed the Rodians putting their finishing touches on Sardis's beatdown.
You really didn't have to do him like that.
I certainly hope
the Vice Grand Administrator confided with a sly smile.
That once we've secured our drinks, you'll allow me to take you up on that offer to see your starship, Mr. Calpurnian.
Why, my dear Vice Grand Administrator, I would like nothing more.
An insistent tug on Lando's arm cut his words short. He spun around, preparing to let fly a barrage of curses at whatever drunken fool had interrupted him this time. Instead, found himself staring into the single illuminated eye of his piloting droid, L337.
I need your help,
she said in an accelerated deadpan that Lando had learned to recognize as urgent.
L3, Lando said, cocking his head. Now is definitely not the time. Let me...
L3 shook her head.
Now is the only time. Right now.
For a second, the two just stared at each other, Lando squinting and holding back a growl. She looked so out of place amid all this elegance. All that exposed wiring on her torso, which she'd pieced together herself from an old astromech. All the other droids around were polished. Excessively so, Lando thought. But L3 clearly didn't give a damn about what they thought about her, an aspect of her personality that Lando had always admired. Anyway, she could run circles around all of them. L3's central processor and analytical core were light years more advanced than those of any droid Lando had ever met. Finally, recognizing a battle he wasn't going to win, Lando let out an exasperated chuckle. He turned to Preeta, who was looking on with some interest. Lando's face was getting tired from so much insistent smiling.
Preeta!
Vice Grand Administrator Sven, she corrected.
Ooh, I like that, Lando winked. Listen.
You have a strange relationship with this droid,
Preeta pointed out.
She has a strange relationship with herself, Lando said. I'm just along for the ride.
Anyway, I will just be a quick second, if you would be so kind as to wait for me.
Preeta didn't respond, but she didn't walk away either. It would have to do.
Now,
Lando said, forcing his voice into a level, understanding tone as he escorted L3 off to a quiet corner.
What is so important that you... Whoa!
L3's grip tightened around Lando's wrist, and she sped around a corner and out of the solarium, tugging him into an off-balance stumble jog behind her.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! What's going on, L?
Lando said, trying to pull his arm out of her iron grip.
We have to go,
L3 said.
We have to go now.
Lando's patience finally emptied out all the way.
Now hold on, damn it!
He dug his heels in, slowing both of them enough to get L3 to turn around.
You can't just... What is possibly so important that...
He flailed around with his free hand.
What's the deal, L?
She looked him up and down slowly.
I know this is a lot to ask, especially considering you thought you were about to receive physical gratification from that Imperial female. However...
Now, wait a minute.
However...
What makes you think I wasn't going to give gratification as well?
However, it's imperative we exit this way station immediately and head to the Farfax system.
Farfax? But what...
I can't tell you why, Captain Calrissian.
Lando paused. L3 almost never called him Captain, shirking droid protocol.
But I can tell you that I wouldn't ask if it weren't an urgent matter of life and death. Probably a great many lives.
Lando narrowed his eyes.
This isn't one of those rah-rah free-the-droids crusades you're always trying to drag me along on, is it, L? Because I swear, if it is...
L3 held up a metallic hand.
No,
she said. That normally would have earned Lando at least a lecture or a snappy comeback.
It's even more serious than that. And you know how serious that is to me. Even if it's just a joke to you.
It's not a...
Come,
L3 said, turning and zipping down the corridor, with Lando still stumbling along behind.
The Falcon is primed and ready to go. You can come up with a snappy reply when we're on the way.
Chandrila.
Now.
The way I see it, Lando said, Grimdark is where he was last locked up. So if we can get into their files, that'll give us the most updated info on Gore and the Phylanx. And more than likely, that's the one place he can't get access to. Then, when we have the info, we get the Phylanx ourselves and jump Gore when he comes to retrieve it. So essentially, we'll need a slicer and a freighter.
And a whole lot of luck,
Han put in. They'd set up a long table on the covered balcony at Han and Leia's apartment. The Chandrilan Mountains rose around them, and the creamy, thick aromas of BX's luxury cuisine mingled with the fresh pine and cedar scents from the forest.
Fresh and slightly braised Liromay,
announced BX, swerving in with yet another tray of steaming delicacies.
Sautéed with a sprinkle of lye seed seasoning and a dash of parapecan, these delectable crustaceans were exported from Mon Cala by a famed Zabrak smuggler and sneaked illegally into Chandra...
That's quite enough, thank you, BX,
Leia said quickly. Flork's Biggles yelped with delight and squealed something that Lando didn't bother translating.
Thank you,
Kasha said.
Everything is delicious.
She'd slipped into an elegant golden top for the dinner gathering. It left her slender shoulders out for all the world to see. And Lando was having trouble keeping his eyes off her.
I'm glad you could make it,
Leia said.
We've heard so much about you from Lando here.
What if we get busted by our own folks along the way?
Han asked.
Look, Lando said. We'll make the whole run incognito. Fake IDs, an unregistered ship, and unregistered pilot. We can hire one from Frandas Bay.
You want to hire a pilot?
Hans said with a smirk.
That's a first.
Well, we can't take any of our own ships, Lando said. And there's no point in buying one for this run. And we want the whole thing to be totally under the radar and unaffiliated with the New Republic.
Leia smiled at him, but it was more like a grimace.
That much I can agree with.
Flork snickered, shoving a whole shell into his mouth.
Florks, Lando snapped. You're not supposed to eat the shell.
Flork smiled at him, crunching loudly as juice dribbled into his goatee.
So, how did you two meet?
Leia asked.
Oh, Lando said. Florks has been my droid engineer ever since I took the helm of...
Leia glared at him.
Not the Ugnaught, you lug.
Florks loudly scarfed down another Lee Romay, entirely uninterested in the conversation.
Let me try again,
Leia said.
Kasha, how did you end up with this dangerous businessman, scoundrel, and galactic war hero?
Kasha chuckled.
With? Like, with? Ha! I'm most certainly not.
Han and Leia glared at Lando. So did Kasha.
Did he tell you I was?
Lando raised a finger and both his eyebrows.
What I said was...
Leia took a sip of Corellian wine.
Certainly made it sound that way. We met back in the Pasa Nova campaign,
Kasha said.
The Free Ryloth movement sent some of their tacticians to help out. And yeah, I'll admit I kinda had a thing for him. And you know, we had our fun. But we both knew it was a dead-end situation, considering we were off in the middle of a raging battle in the far reaches, and no one had any intention of taking anything further. Right, Lando?
I mean...
At least I didn't. I'm not a fool. I know who Calrissian is. So we did what people do when they're young and ridiculous and in cramped quarters where they might be blasted into a million pieces at any moment.
Disgusting!
Florks yelled.
Florks, Lando groaned. Manners.
But then the province fell and the galaxy kept turning. The FRM needed me back on Ryloth to help liberate Tan. And so I kept it moving. So did Lando, I'm sure.
She shot him a pointed look. Lando did a kind of half-shrug, maybe nod-type gesture that was completely indecipherable. Han chuckled. Leia filled Kasha's cup and clinked glasses with her.
I'm loving this. Please, go on.
Kasha tipped her glass to the princess with a soft smile and took a sip.
It's possible it might have crossed my mind once or twice over the years, sure.
Lando, still looking vastly uncomfortable, tried to shrug again.
I have a way of...
Save it,
Leia suggested with the voice she'd used to give orders.
But never in any kind of yearning way,
Kasha clarified.
Just like, wonder what Lando's up to. Then one day, lo, the Empire falls, and the hollows are all abuzz with chatter about the man who blew up the second Death Star. Who is this dashing mystery man? This rogue gambler turned Baron Administrator turned Hero of the Rebellion?
She narrowed her eyes.
Who indeed? My first thought was, no way. Absolutely, I mean, he was brave, sure, but always in the service of saving his own hide or profit. But I had also detected that deep down, behind all that smooth talking and those well-ironed capes, there was a whole human being with a conscience and a desperate need to do something worthwhile with his life. I like her,
Leia declared.
Great, Lando grumbled. I'll leave her here with you.
Kasha squeezed Lando's arm.
Hush, Masareen. Don't pout just because people are telling the truth about you.
Masareen.
Twi'leki for
my sweet.
If they weren't paired up, what exactly were they, Lando wondered. Sure, they'd never formally declared anything, but it was obvious that what they shared, even in just these few steamy nights, was much more than just another passing fling. Wasn't it?
Han nudged him from the other side. Sagara's bedroom balcony. Now.
Good idea, Leia said. Kasha and I need to chat.
For the record,
Lando said, flicking open a flame beneath his Chandrillan Monjav and puffing a few times as the embers flared to life.
All I said was that it wasn't like that.
Han chuckled.
Like what?
Like, you know...
He passed Han the lighter and waved his hands around uselessly.
That.
Oh, you and Kasha?
Right. It's not like the others, Lando said. But that doesn't mean I'm trying to do anything reckless. Like, you know...
He shot a wink at Han.
Settle down.
Han shrugged, shook his head.
What's the matter, old buddy? Here you are in this beautiful apartment, with Ben sleeping in the other room. And you're beautiful. Beautiful.
All right, all right.
Wife chatting with my gorgeous Twi'lek something or other. Probably fleeting companion who more than likely won't want to hear my name in another week.
Han scowled.
Yeah, well, everything's not as pretty as it looks, Lando. Remember, for the first couple of years that Leia and I knew each other, we were just trying not to get blasted to bits by the Empire. All that time I could barely get her attention, and she kept acting like she wanted nothing to do with me. And suddenly we're on Endor, and everything is just happening fast. Really fast.
Lando nodded sagely and puffed on his Monjav.
You did take that leap with your usual reckless, impulsive bravado.
I don't know, Lando. All this is a mystery to me. I never thought I'd be a husband, much less a father. None of it makes any sense. I try to spend time with the boy, he's in tears. I go away, he's mad I left. Kid's barely got a personality yet, and I'm already messing it up.
Oh, come on,
Lando chided.
I'm sure you're much better at it than you think.
Han scoffed.
I guess we'll see. Either way, I'm no one to be giving advice. Trust me.
For a long time, puffs of smoke rose above their heads, and the gentle hoots of Chandrillan Forest Preprax and faraway laughter filled the night.
So that's all we're doing, huh?
Lando said later that night, as he and Kasha walked arm in arm along the grand promenade of the Rebellion. Illuminated fountains burbled their song through the warm Chandrillan night, and tiny preep-knobs hooted back and forth in the perfectly trimmed Garen trees lining the walkway. Off in the distance, the domed Capitol building sparkled against the dark sky. Kasha looked appalled.
Whatever do you mean, sir?
Lando affected his best Ugnaught accent, scrunching up his face.
This button.
Oh.
Kasha rolled her eyes.
You know?
No. I guess I don't know,
Lando said.
Wait.
She stepped back from him, a finger poised demurely against her chin.
Are you? Is the great General Calrissian having feelings?
Oh, here we go.
Is that what's happening here?
Lando put one hand on his waist and waved the other to punctuate his point.
I'm simply saying that it seemed like you felt a little something more than just some rambunctious throwaway nights.
Lando, we were at war. And you're Lando Calrissian, in case you hadn't noticed. I know what I was getting into.
Lando cocked an eyebrow.
Did you really?
What's that supposed to mean?
You brought a whole crew of schoolchildren all the way out to Bespin just to keep them informed about the inner workings of a startup droid company?
Kasha laughed, exasperated.
I admitted I came to check up on you. I'm not the one being coy here.
No, aren't you? You conveniently brought an extra teacher along and then left the younglings with her when we took off across the galaxy.
Of course!
Kasha yelled, stretching arms to either side.
Because you are the great Lando Calrissian. Who could possibly resist your charms?
I'm not sure if everyone on the promenade heard you, Kasha. Maybe you could try one more time, but a little louder.
I came along because I thought you might need my help, Lando. But maybe that was a mistake.
A gentle tinkling filled the air as they walked past an old Talls running a bow along his stringed instrument and shaking his head, eyes closed.
I don't think it was a mistake at all, Lando said. That's what I've been trying to say.
Well, you're doing a lousy job explaining yourself.
Spare change for an old soldier?
A gruff man with one leg whimpered from the bench where they were passing. A dimly flashing light board on his lap read, Wounded in the Battle of Hoth. Lando handed him a credit.
You're insinuating I don't know how I feel,
Kasha said.
Why don't you spend more time asking yourself how you really feel, and less trying to decipher me being perfectly clear with you?
She walked off, her heels clacking on the cobblestones in the night. Lando plopped down next to the wounded rebel vet and sighed.
Been there,
the old man said. Lando raised his eyebrows.
Oh. And she's right, you know. Ugh. Even if you're right, too, she's still right. This isn't helpful, man. What I'm saying is, you can surmise what she feels all day, but it won't mean criff if you don't know how you feel.
Lando threw his arms up in the air.
I know how I feel.
The old soldier passed him a flask.
How?
Lando took a swig.
You want some? Nah, I don't drink. Just keep it around for folks who seem to want to talk. I disinfected the nozzle after the last guy, so don't worry about that. Brother, how you have cash for... Oh, never mind. How do I feel? I feel...
And there went the words. clean out of his brain.
But the feeling was there.
It was there every time he thought about Kasha. Even when she was mad at him, he'd first felt it in the Pasa Novo bunkers. They hadn't even done anything that first night. Lando was wiped out from smuggling gear and refugees off the battlefield, and Kasha had just pulled double shift coordinating troop movements. But the draw had been there, that inexplicable certainty, the glances that lingered. Lando had figured she just wanted a taste at first. She'd been right about what she'd said at dinner with Han and Leia earlier. When you're young and dumb and at war, a warm body to hold can feel like all you need to wake up all the parts of you that have been bombed and blasted into an icy slumber. So they'd sneaked off together, found a bunk, and gently eased each other out of all those utility belts and button-downs and combat boots. And then, smooth as a sip of fine Corellian wine, they'd slid onto that cold, lumpy mattress and wrapped around each other. And then they'd both passed all the way out. But Lando's eyes popped open a little before dawn. Shouts and blasts of the previous day's campaign still echoing through him. He'd sat up, sweat-soaked, and Kasha had stirred just slightly, laid a hand on his shoulder, and nuzzled deeper into his chest. And Lando had calmed, settled back down, and without even having placed his lips against hers or felt her in the thrall of passion, he had felt a strange kind of peacefulness flood over him. It wasn't the reeling outburst of excitement that came with victory at the card table, had none of the smugness that would rise in him at that blissful culmination of a con. No. This was something much more long-lasting and delicious. This was joy. And he'd felt it again when she'd shown up that day in Cloud City, with her loose-fitting slacks and sly smile. It was joy. And it had overthrown him entirely without even asking permission.
"She makes me happy," Lando said,
feeling vaguely as if he'd been slapped by the information. The old vet hummed appreciatively.
"That wasn't so hard, was it?"
Lando grunted.
"Well, did you tell her?"
Maybe
you should tell her."
Lando shook his head.
"You make it sound so easy."
Chandrila. Now.
"You sure this is a good idea?"
Han said, taking in the monstrous, gleaming citadel that formed the New Republic's Defense Fleet headquarters. Security speeders zipped around each tower, and blaster cannons spun endless circles, menacing the air around them in all directions.
"Relax," Lando said with a snicker. "This is our team, remember?"
"I know that. I don't like any of these places, to be honest."
"Look, if we're gonna be tracking down this guy, especially some prison move, we need a slicer. And who better to help us find a slicer than..."
"I guess,"
Han said.
"Let me do the talking, though. Kyle's a buddy of mine."
Lando rolled his eyes.
"You say that, and then..."
"We roughed up some flaky senators trying to keep us out of the Battle of Jakku 2 years back,"
Han said.
"Good guy."
"Let's hope so,"
Lando said as they strolled in.
"Because he might not like what we're asking."
"They probably stuck him in some basement dungeon with all the other code freaks."
The hustle and bustle of bureaucrats and politicos getting to work on time flowed around them as Han and Lando checked the holo board for the Digital Warfare Department.
12th floor," Lando said. "Not a basement after all."
Floor-to-ceiling windows displayed the misty Chandrilan Forest Mountains, stretching out in all directions around Hana City as the glass turbolift zoomed higher and higher into the towering New Republic monolith. A short fuzzy figure was clacking away on a comm tablet behind the desk in the 12th floor lobby.
They're hiring Ewok receptionist now?
Han muttered under his breath.
Apparently so,
Lando said. Then he fixed that million credit grin on his face and stepped up, clearing his throat. The Ewok kept typing. Han and Lando traded a confused look.
Excuse me,
Lando tried, smile diminishing rapidly. She paused, squinted at the screen, checked another screen, and then resumed her clackety-clacking with even more vigor.
We have an appointment with Mr. Kyle,
Han said. The Ewok looked up, still typing, cocked her head at them, then shook it, muttering something in Ewokese, took a sip of a steamy beverage from what looked like a tiny tree trunk, and directed her glare back at the screen.
Well, all right, Lando said. Guess we'll just stroll on in.
Captain Solo,
a gregarious voice called from the doorway.
And the infamous General Calrissian.
Condor Kyle, chief of cyber warfare for the New Republic, stood with his thick, hairy arms stretched to either side, a wide grin on his face. Lando shrugged.
Well, I don't know about infamous.
Condor,
Han said, before being wrapped in a bone-crushing bear hug.
Come in, you two. It's not every day not one but two real-life heroes of the Rebellion show up here.
See?
Han said, elbowing Lando.
Good people.
If you say so,
Lando said, casting a wary glance at the still-typing furball behind them.
How's Rath Velis?
Han asked, settling into a floating, spinny chair in front of Kyle's comp-cluttered desk. Condor Kyle shook his head, but the way his eyes lit up spoke of a man deeply in love.
Oh, Sinjir's gallivanting across the galaxy, causing all kinds of Sinjiri-type trouble.
Condor's husband runs the political shenanigans for Mon Mothma,
Han explained. Lando lit up.
Talented man. I never would have thought Mothma had a fixer. He must be good at his job.
Oh, he is,
Condor said.
A little too good sometimes. But you two didn't come here to trade niceties. What's going on?
We need a favor,
Han started.
A potentially delicate one.
Delicate is our specialty here,
Condor said with a grin.
Get in. Get out, rupture all the security firewalls along the way, and capture as much code as you can moving through. It's what we do.
Lando crossed his arms over his chest and nodded.
That's exactly what we're talking about. But this mission is under the radar and off the record. We don't have any kind of New Republic authority whatsoever. Feel me?
Condor scratched his goatee. Yeah, I'm in an official capacity here, obviously, and overworked up to my ears. Plus, I get the sense what you're talking about involves a certain amount of...
He locked eyes with Han.
Galactic travel?
Lando and Han both nodded.
You know,
Condor said, and you could almost see the gears turning inside his brain.
I do have a mentee I've been training. She's the best slicer I know. I mean, I've picked up a thing or two watching her work, and she's not officially on payroll yet with the NR.
Wait,
Han said.
You don't mean...
Condor pushed a button on his desk.
Peekpa, can you come in here, please?
Not the...
Lando started as the door slid open, and the surly Ewok from the front desk waddled in. Weird little tree trunk mug in hand.
Frick-trick!
Peekpa chirped.
Peekpa, these two gentlemen are about to embark on an unspecified and top-secret under-the-radar mission that they need the assistance of a talented slicer for.
The Ewok cast a sharp look at Han and Lando,
and then let loose a withering barrage of what had to be vicious Endorian curses.
"Well, tell us how you really feel, Furball,"
Han said.
"It seems," Condor said, "your assumption that Peekpa was a receptionist was highly offensive to her."
Han sighed.
"Well, if she hadn't been sitting at a..."
"Please, let her know," Lando cut in, "that we apologize profusely, Mr. Kyle, and we would be happy to..."
The Ewok moaned, rolling her big brown eyes and throwing her arms up in the air.
"She says she understands basic," Condor said. "Obviously, so you needn't have me tell her anything. She understood you perfectly well."
He grimaced apologetically and turned to Peekpa.
"Miss Peekpa, if you would consider the offer from General Calrissian and Captain Solo, I'm sure we could..."
Peekpa held up a paw.
"Solo?"
"Of course, that Captain Solo," Condor said.
With a squeal, Peekpa laid into a lengthy monologue, the gist of which Condor Kyle summarized like this.
"She wants to know if the Wookiee Chewbacca will be joining you on this quest."
Han rubbed his eyes. Chewie had finally settled back with his family 2 years ago, and was hard at work rebuilding Kashyyyk's shattered infrastructure with the other Wookiees. When they'd spoken a few weeks ago, Chewie had been concerned about a spate of disappearances in nearby villages.
"We can absolutely arrange for that, yes," Lando cut in.
Condor looked at Peekpa, who tossed her mug and ran in a small circle, chirping and shrieking.
"You're telling Chewie,"
Han hissed.
"It seems," Condor said, "that you found yourselves a slicer."
"Han, Takodana, about 10 years ago." "What are you looking at, shorty?" Han muttered, trying to find the eyes of the huge Fromprath seated alone on the small stage at Maz's castle. It was after hours. Just a few folks sat huddled over their drinks and muttering quietly to one another, and, encouraged by Maz herself, the Fromprath had gone and retrieved his long wooden string Matanga and posted up with a kind of slithery smoothness in the spotlight. Now, the delicate, lithe notes shimmered out into the smoky club. They tittered and fawned like old gossiping ladies, and they seemed to surround Han and his heavy head, mocking and mesmerizing. Obviously, the 3-meter snake-like thing with 6 legs and who knew how many eyes was reading his mind, because it was very clear that whatever that song was, it was all about Han's current crappy state of affairs. Each bending lick and all those winding harmonies echoing each other, teasing, returning to the ether. They were clearly designed to paint pictures of Han's own mashed-up heart, the pulsing sense of regret, the never-ending replay of each step along his dumb, broken life that had led him here to this moment. Lovesick and wasted at Maz's and waiting for Sana to show up with whatever ridiculous cargo she needed his help smuggling. And Sana was late, which the song seemed to know too. "Prep the Falcon," she'd said before she left. Chewie would do it. And anyway, the Falcon was always prepped. And why were these cackling Batanga notes mirroring Han's silent conversation with himself? If the song was mocking him, which it was, it absolutely was, and could read his deepest thoughts, which it blatantly could, that meant the Fromprath was staring at him. Somehow. Probably with one of those hidden eye stalks Fromprath's had tucked away in that huge, admittedly very well-groomed, mane of hair. Sneaky thing. And even worse, it was ignoring him. All the eyes Han could see were closed with concentration as the Fromprath's many, many fingers danced and slid across the Batanga strings. How was this 6-armed snake gonna both ignore him and read his mind Han wondered, pounding a fist on the bar. The audacity! Easy, little guy, a voice said from somewhere around Han's hip area. A barstool, maybe? But why was it speaking in Maz Kanata's voice?